How would your life change if you're an exceptional communicator? Really reflect on that question, because the reason people don't put in the work is because they don't have a deep reason why they want to master communication. And once you stop seeing it like a chore and a way to create impact in the same way you've done it, because now with your podcast, because you're a great communicator, sure, there's other levels you can get better, but you're already great. That's why your podcast is super successful and you're able to share that impact with people. What is that thing for you who's listening to this? It doesn't have to be a podcast. It could be a better mother for your children. It could be making new friends. It could be ordering food in a restaurant where the waiter feels amazing, and that's your goal. But once you find it, it's going to be a lot easier for you to do.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network.
Real Business Connections Network.
Powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com.
Enjoy the show.
Welcome everyone to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. If you love to learn, be inspired, and succeed, we're here to speak and teach. I'm your host, Ben Albert. I believe if you're not living, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're withering. And if you're not engaged, you can turn this off right now. Because we here at LST are lifelong learners. And listen, I'm not your guru. I'm an ordinary guy on a journey to learn from the experts. My goal is to host each conversation with a beginner's mindset, learn, and let the experts speak and teach their truths. Join us! Oh yeah, and don't forget to subscribe. This episode is brought to you completely free. Get some stake in the game here. My fee for the show only takes a few moments. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Bonus points. Please leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right, let's get started. Welcome, everybody, to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here today with Brendan Kumarasamy. Brendan, what's up, brother? How are you?
Good, Ben. How are you, man?
Good, man. I've been looking forward to this for how long? Like months, man. I'm excited to speak with you today. Brendan is the founder of MasterTalk, over 140 LinkedIn recommendations because he is one of the best communicators in the world, at least top notch for his age. How old are you, Brendan?
26.
So 26, the next level communication skills, over 30K views, subscribers on YouTube. You've got millions of views. As far as I'm concerned, you deserve like 300K subscribers. So go subscribe to Master Talk. And Brendan, guy, I'm just excited to have you here today, man. I'm pumped, dude.
Hey, the pleasure's absolutely mine, Ben. I've been looking forward to this one too, so I'm glad we finally made it work.
Yeah, and I'll take this from Brendan. Guys, if you're looking to be an exceptional communicator, this is the podcast for you. Whether you're looking to scale your sales, your next presentation, your next job, Brendan will teach you how to do it. But let's start here because I want to do something different. We're going to go into workshop mode in a second. Brendan, how many podcasts have you been on?
Dude, I lost track. If I had to pick a number, I'd probably say 500-600 to be conservative, but it might be more.
So over 500 podcasts. He's a kick-ass communicator. I'm going to ask you about your story, but in a moment, I want to go into workshop edition because one thing that I think is beautiful about any workshop is it's going to happen live on the spot, and it'll give people a feel for what this process looks like when we work on being an exceptional communicator. And people could listen to one of the 500 episodes to learn about your story. But let's start with just like a bird's eye view for the listener who's just starting to tune in. Who's Brendan Kay? Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, for sure, Ben. So I grew up in a city called Montreal in Canada, had an amazing group of parents, grew up with a little sister. My parents were factory workers. Growing up as kids, we didn't make a lot of money. So my focus when I was younger, Ben, was really how do I become successful in life, specifically from a financial perspective, because my only real objective was to get out of poverty. So I wasn't really focused on being a communication coach or some YouTuber or an entrepreneur. When I was 12, my career counselor told us, you got to figure out what you want to do in life. And while other people wrote down astronaut or stand-up comedian, I put down accountant on my piece of paper. And I grew up with that objective. And then flash forward a few years later, I was in college. I went to business school to be an accountant. And then I started doing these things called case competitions. Think of it like professional sports for nerds. Other guys my age are playing football. I was doing presentations competitively. And that's how I learned how to speak. And that's how I accidentally got really good at coaching other people how to speak. And that's what led to the YouTube channel, Master Talk.
Accidentally. So you learned by doing. Let's do that today, man. I don't want to ask you questions that you've been asked before. You've been on 500 podcasts. You're an exceptional communicator. We're going to do a workshop. I want to pass the, I'll grab the mic. I'm going to pass the mic to you. Preface, like, give us an exercise that we can do today live. And as you can hear, I'm stumbling over my words. I've had a long day. Here's the thing. You can have a long day, stressful day, but when it's your moment to step to the stage, you need to kick ass, right? I want you to help prepare me. So give me an exercise. We'll go through it right here on the spot today.
Absolutely, Ben. So before we jump into this, let me add some context for people listening to this. Communication is taught differently by different experts, but here's my opinion. If you try and juggle all 18 balls at the same time, all the balls will fall to the floor, right? So if you try and do, let's remove my filler words, my ums and ahs, my pausing, my vocal tone variety, my pacing, we do all this stuff, we're not going to get the result. In the same way that when we work out in a gym, sure, you could ask about the diet plan, you could ask about the exercise strategies and the calorie intakes, but the number one question is, are you walking 15 minutes a day? And a lot of us, Ben, with our communication, are not even walking 15 minutes a day. And that's really the first step, is to start that process. So now, going back to that 18-ball analogy, the first step to this workshop today is, what's the first ball? And the first ball, in my opinion, this I start with, every client has to do this with me. It's the first drill, the random word exercise. Pick a random word like pistachio, like sugar, like trophy case, any word, like literally random, and create a random presentation out of thin air and just do that a few times a day. And that's exercise number one that I'm more than happy to demonstrate.
Yeah, what I'm going to do, and so, Brandon, I've done this about 15 times. What's funny is it's hard to stay consistent. I'll be the first vulnerable person to put myself on the spot. That was part of my morning routine, and then I forgot to do it. And then I saw you on the calendar. I'm like, I'm going to practice this morning. So what I do is I go to randomwordgenerator.com, and I'm going to do this right now. Randomwordgenerator.com.
And then throw the word at me. Yeah.
Concentration.
Awesome. So Ben literally took that out of random word generator. So now I got to create a presentation with the word concentrate, which I'll do right now. It's Sunday evening, Ben. And I'm looking at the stars in the sky, and I'm writing down, as any hopefully successful entrepreneur or high performer does, is I always concentrate. Not just on today, but more importantly on this week. Getting all my notes together, getting all my notepads and my post-it notes to figure out and concentrate on what are my priorities this week. You know, it's interesting, when Bill Gates and Warren Buffett first met, Bill's father asked a group of people to write down one word that made them successful. And even if Bill Gates and Warren Buffett didn't know each other, Ben, the word that they wrote down that piece of paper was the same word. And the word was focus. If we don't concentrate and focus on the goals that we want to achieve in our life, our goals will simply be a dream. And we can't leave our goals to be dreams. And that's the difference between a dream and a goal, is that goals have tangible steps. So I encourage all of you who are listening to this, not just to write your goals down, not just to focus, but to concentrate on making sure that you achieve the goals that you're looking at for. And that's the random word exercise.
What did you just do there?
Okay. So let's take a few steps here, because I think it's important. Because I always caveat with, you should never compare yourself to me. And that's the biggest mistake. And the reason for that, Ben, is because I've done the exercise, and I really want people to hear this, 3,000 times. Not 3 times. Not 30 times. Not 300 times. 3,000 times in my life. That's why I'm really good at this. So all of my clients, Ben, this is workshop mode, so I'm going in that mode. A lot of people always ask me, what's the step? What's the process? And my reply is always the same. If you have not done the random word exercise 100 times, the steps don't matter. They don't matter. You get points, and people can write this down. You get points on how many times you do the exercise, not on how well you do this. But one point that you jumped in with, Beth, and I don't know why I call you Beth. I don't know what's going on with this. Hey. That you jumped in with, which I think is so vulnerable and so good for the intention you have with this episode today, is, hey, Brendan, I did this 15 times, and then I stopped doing it. So now the next question becomes, how do you get to 100? Because even with someone as successful as you've been, even someone's intention, you came to all the workshops and all that stuff, we still couldn't get to 100. So what's the problem? There's different levels. Obviously, you can hire a coach, makes life easy, but let's go through other strategies that people can implement. Let's start with the first one that I recommend. Do this with your family. That's the easiest way to get to 100. I'll give you a bunch of laundry list examples and people can just cherry pick what they like. Mm-hmm. So one that I encourage my clients to do is, if they have children, it could be nieces and nephews, but let's say you got little kids running around and you're picking them to and from school, instead of listening to music, turn that shit off. And then what you want to do is give random word exercises to each other. That's one way to do it. Another way to do it is over dinner. So when you're asking them about their day, you can start that dinner with a random word exercise, and you start, have the kid give you a random word. Then you give one to them. So it's fun for them. Or long family trips when there's like a 5-hour commute. You can get 50 of these bad boys done in like 2 hours, 3 hours. So there's some examples. One other one you could add as well is, I'm just giving you a bunch of examples here, the shower. We're all showering every day. Hopefully, I swear to God, I hope everybody is doing that. So that's another way that you can do this. But the key is to make it work.
And if you shower twice a day, that's two opportunities.
There you go. I don't know how many people shower twice today, but there you go. And then I'll add one, and this is what I do.
Yes.
Is I pair up clients with each other. So you can do this with your friends. Like, for example, let's say I was telling Ben, hey, Ben, is there a friend in your network? Is there somebody who came to a workshop or listened to this podcast who wants to do this every day? So you can just pair it up and book the calls in advance. Okay, Ben, me and you are going to wake up at this time. We're going to meet at this time and just do this every day, kind of like going to the gym on a consistent basis.
Should I try?
The random word exercise?
Yeah, I'm going to pull a random word generator. It's not a promotion. It's just an easy way to do it.
It's free to use anyways, the random word generator.
Yeah. Veteran. Ooh. So today on the show, I have a veteran speaker. He's a veteran speaker who's 26 years old, because becoming a veteran comes with time. It comes with repetition. It comes with strategy. It comes with falling on your face and having someone pick you up. It comes with picking other people back up. So whether you're 15, 26, or 56, you too, my friend, can become a veteran if you put in the work.
Dude, I love that.
Not bad?
That was excellent. I mean, that's great.
What did I do right, and where might I be able to improve?
Great question. So I would say, let's start with what you did right. I feel what you did right is you kept your posture. So that means you were smiling, you're expressive, as if you gave the illusion that you prepared this presentation before the word was given. So for those of you who are watching the video, if you look at my face and I look stressed as I'm doing concentrate or veteran, I'm giving off the wrong energy to my audience. So what you did right is that piece. I would say one point of improvement, but I don't really see it as improvement. I see it as a different way of approaching the random word exercise. It's not really a right or wrong answer to this drill. It's just about doing it a lot. But I would say I would challenge you on the next random word exercise to either try a personal story around a veteran, some piece around that in your life. And another time you do the random word exercise, I would encourage you to try and drive a lesson for the people who are listening to your speech. So this is not something that you need to work on, but different tools that can help improve your arsenal over time.
Totally. And I'll admit to you and the listener, I'm a little nervous. I sometimes like Zoom because you can't see a tiny little bit of sweat coming from up over on my brow. And I've learned that when I'm nervous, I fall back to my lowest level of training. And telling a story and really driving a message is something it's like you're sometimes afraid to do when you haven't put in the reps. So talk a little bit more about putting in those reps. You already mentioned it's massively valuable. Why is it so valuable to be working on this and putting on those reps on a day to day to day, ultimately multiple times a day is not even a bad idea either, basis? Tell me a little bit more about that.
I mean, heck, Ben, even I was worried getting on this podcast because it's the first time I've ever turned a podcast into a workshop, right? So there's a level for all of us. So let's address that piece because I think it's important. I fundamentally believe in this idea, Ben, that fear of communication, anxiety of communication can never be completely removed. I think that's a wrong expectation to have. It's kind of like if you're in a marriage and every day is going to be a great day. Well, no, you can't possibly have every day as perfect 10 out of 10. Oh, my God.
But my marriage will be, Brendan.
Yes, your marriage, absolutely. Well, let me tell you about my marriage with communication. It doesn't work that way, right? So I'll give you a simple example. Let's say me and you are having lunch, Ben, just in person, which would be awesome, by the way. And then somebody calls me. My phone starts buzzing. And I answer the phone, and it's Elon Musk. And Elon Musk goes, "Hey, Brendan, I saw your episode with Ben. It was really good. How about I pay you $1 million to coach me? I'll fly you out in my private jet tonight. What do you think?" Would I pee my pants a little bit? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Even if I've coached and helped a lot of those people, I'm still nervous. I'm still worried. Why? Because there's always a level that scares all of us. So the tip that I would give on this is think of your fear or your anxiety like a boxing match, where one side of the ring is the fear, the anxiety, the stress around anything that you could possibly have. And the other side of the ring is the message. Why is this important for us to share? And the goal is not for the fear to leave the ring, but rather make sure that when the two meet in the middle and that bell rings, that your message gets the knockout punch. In the same way, I had no business starting a YouTube channel on communication when I was 22, but I did it for the 7-year-old girl who can't afford me.
The 7-year-old girl who can't afford you. Walk us through and start, begin with the start. So you started a YouTube channel. You're 22. What was your first move?
I mean, my first move was actually rewind that a little bit when I was 19. Please. So when I started doing these case competitions and I started competing, once again, it was mostly just to get a job because I could network with these executives. And that's how I got a job at IBM. And I started working there for a few years before I went full time on this. But that was really the goal. That was the North Star. But then after a few years of doing these case competitions, coaching a lot of the students, one of them asked me the most powerful question I got asked in my life, which was, "How did you learn how to speak?" And I looked at him and I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, did you do Toastmasters? Did you hire somebody? Did you take a class? What did you do?" And I didn't really do anything, Ben. I just was self-taught. I worked on it myself. I didn't really have a lot of money. And I was just figuring this out along the way. And he said to me, "Well, did you watch YouTube videos on this?" I said, "What? That people watch that?" And that's what led for me to watch all of these other creators in the space. And I realized there's a big gaping hole that I wanted to fill, even if I didn't think I could, just because I felt no one was really serving a very young demographic. Like the 7-year-old can't really relate. Even if I didn't intentionally do it for the 7-year-old at the very, very beginning, I was mostly doing it for the 19, the 15, the 13-year-old. But those people can't relate to anybody in their 60s for the most part. So I saw an opportunity for me to do something about it, even if for the first year I was in my mom's basement just making videos for fun.
So you're in your mom's basement making videos for fun. You're getting momentum. You're actually getting better at it because you're practicing. You're putting the content. You're being vulnerable. And somewhere there's a little 7-year-old girl who's going to change the world. Could be a boy. Many little people out there running, they aren't listening to your channel yet, but you know what's funny? Their parents are. So for the parents listening to your channel or my podcast at this time, what would you tell them?
100%, Ben. And that's exactly the mission. You actually nailed it on the head. A lot of parents are watching, which is now being passed down. And I'm starting to see that now that the channel's growing a lot. In terms of what I would tell them, You mean in the context of how to teach our children how to speak, right? That's the context.
Yeah, 100%. How do they live by example for their children? How to you can ultimately take it wherever you'd like, but that's my intuition.
Yeah, that's what I was figuring as well. So definitely the first piece is the random word exercise, right? When we're integrating that with the lives of our children, we are not just helping them communicate better. We are setting the example for them. Somebody told me this once, and I thought it was so fascinating. He said that children will never do what their parents ask them to do, but they will always be how their parents are being. And I thought that was really powerful in the sense that kids will never listen to us, but they'll always act in the same way that their parents are. So if their parents are yelling at each other all the time, even if they tell their kids to not yell at each other, they'll yell at each other, as an example. So that's the first thing I would say is do the random word exercise, integrate this into their life. The second piece of advice I always give parents and educators is whenever your kid wants something from you, wants you to buy them a movie ticket, a video game, cherry pick a couple of them and just say, hey, kid, why don't you make me a 5-minute presentation to explain why I should spend the money on this? And what you'll find oftentimes is the kid will give up on the thing, which will save you a bunch of money. But then 10 to 20% of the time, you'll be surprised, Ben, that some of these kids will actually create a presentation because they want the thing so badly. So it's about tying an incentive. And then the third tip I would give that parents should also do is to have your kids send video messages to their family members, ideally distant relatives, because it really makes their day. It really encourages the kid to keep making videos because the grandpa goes like, oh my God, like she was so good. And it also encourages you to send video messages to the people that mean the most in your life.
That's beautiful. Because the kid, you don't have to give the kid a 5-step formula for the perfect video message to connect immediately. No, you just give them a phone and say, grandma's on the other line. They go, grandma, hey! Get all excited. And then they get comfortable with that presence, that, you know, social, just the socialization naturally, even without the technique being instilled yet. Okay, so I'm doing the random word exercise. I'm practicing, like I'm getting better. At what point can I start bringing new aspects into the fold? I know personally, I'm a ummer and ahr. I'm a stutterer. Today was a perfect example. A million things happened that were out of my control. And my brain's kind of just all over the place. And it's hard not to stutter and kind of be distracted sometimes. So I want to work on these technical things, but I can't do them all at once, obviously. At what point am I comfortable enough? How do I bring in a new strategy? Should I bring in a new strategy? Just kind of like a broad strokes question of what would you recommend for someone?
Absolutely, Ben, of course. So since we're in workshop mode, there's kind of two modes that I want to go into. Easy mode and hard mode. Medium hard mode, let's put it that way. So let's start with easy mode, which, by the way, 90% of people, because I want to caveat this correctly, because I'll give you all the answers you're looking for. I just want to make sure people implement. So 90% of the people listening to this won't even do easy mode. So let's start there. What does that mean? We're doing the random word exercise consistently. Even if it's a few times a week, it doesn't have to be every single day. It's just if you get to 100. So for somebody like Ben, if Ben's coming up to me and he's saying, oh, Brendan, I got to 50, I don't know what to do, I'll say, perfect. You're going to book a 60-minute call with one of your buddies, and you're just going to do 50 in an hour. So that works too, right? Where it's like, okay, this is the time. You don't have to book every day. It's just figuring out what works for you. So some people like doing small bites every day. I actually don't do that. I'll be transparent. I'm a lot more intense than I give the appearance on a podcast because I don't want to scare people. So for me, it's like, no, I'll do like 50 in a day or something. But I'll do it once every 2 weeks. So everyone's got their thing. You just got to figure out how to get to 100. Usually after you pass 100, I'm just putting an arbitrary number there, right, which, by the way, doesn't take that long. That's one thing I want to change in the mindset. People think 100 random words, oh my God, Ben, like this is so much, Brendan. But each random word takes 60 seconds, folks. This is a 100-minute exercise.
I think mine was 20. So it doesn't take very long.
There you go. So what does that mean? That means if you do 5 minutes a day, you'll act in 5 times a day, you'll actually be done 100 times in 3 weeks. That's it, max. And if you do 10 a day, you'll be done in 10 days, which is actually not a lot. So then when we're done that, the next piece is what I call ball number two. And for me, ball number two is the question drill. So the question drill is literally the exercise I teach right after that. is after people get comfortable with the random word, I say, okay, let me throw the second ball in, which is a lot of the questions we get asked in our life, whether it's on a podcast, Ben, whether it's in our businesses, in our life, on a prospecting call, we're always bombarded with questions, but we're reactive to that. Example, a few years ago when I started podcasting, I was terrible. Remember some guy asked me, where does the fear of communication come from? I look at the guy and I go, I don't know, Los Angeles, Texas? I don't know. I don't know. Right. So, but because I wasn't proactive, I got slapped in the face. So then what I did differently, once again, I'm a lot more intense, but let me simplify this for people. Every day for 5 minutes, that's all I'm asking your audience to do, Ben, in addition to the random word exercise, is you take one question from your audience and you spend 5 minutes writing down the answer to that question or voicing it out on a voice recorder. If you do that once a day for a year, that's the simplest way to do this exercise. You'll have answered 365 questions about your industry, your business, your expertise, and you'll already be ahead of at least 95% of your industry just by doing that.
Love it. Where do these questions come from?
Great follow-up. So at the beginning, you can just write a few questions that you know your audience is asking you, but There's a couple of different ways. So the next piece is getting your audience and your clients to give you these questions. So for example, let's say you're a nutritionist. Just go to your clients and say, what questions do you have on nutrition? If you're a sales guy selling a specific product, go to people you already sold to, have dinner with them and go, what other questions would you have asked about the product? And just make a list. Document all of those questions. There's obviously a third level, which is why, by the way, Ben, I've guested on so many podcasts. It's more of a side note because you're asking me the deeper questions. Mm-hmm. I actually don't do it for business. Podcast guesting is a very low business ROI activity for me. The reason I do it is to practice the question drill. So I actually practice the question drill anywhere from 3 to 20 hours a week because the host is drilling me with questions, right? So that I show up better for clients. That's actually why I do these interviews. I mean, you're awesome. So yeah, you're an exception.
I love that. I've done approximately 60 interviews, and my confidence to tackle different questions in similar categories on the cuff has went up 500,000%. And the moment I'm in a presentation meeting, a sales meeting, you know, an investor meeting, anything like that, I already know what the most common questions are, and I already have confidence that I can answer them.
Exactly. Except the only exception, so that technique works for us because we're both podcast guests.
Right.
But for somebody who's listening to the pod, for them, it's more of a question of, are you spending every day writing? You can literally do this exercise alone. Ideally, I don't recommend that. Ideally, what would happen is you have a small group of people who are who have the same objective as you, and you're bouncing questions. I'll give you a simple one. So when I coach doctors, I get 3 or 4 of those doctors to jump on a call together, and they actually take out all the questions they had trouble answering their patients that week, and they actually get the answers from every other doctor. So you can do that with business development people. I know you mentioned that. So as one of your core audiences, so you got 4 sales guys on a call. That's the best way to do this. And everyone brings up all of their hard questions. So literally, it's not hard. I just go, Ben, this is the question I got. How would you answer this question? And then you tell me and I just steal your answer. That's it. And the same, and then we do vice versa. Hey, Brendan, I got asked this question. How would you answer it? And then I would just give you my answer and you just take my answer and you run with it. That's the game. It's just most. So this is easy. This is not rocket science.
No, no.
Except people aren't willing to put in the time to actually do that. And that's one of the most profitable strategies in my arsenal, actually.
It's an investment of our time, but it's a massively profitable strategy. One thing I've told people when they're looking to create content, if they're looking to be a thought leader, if they're looking to be an industry expert, I'll do it right now. You pull up Google and you just type in how to, and this is actually going to turn into a question. So give me just a public speaking term of any kind.
Glossophobia.
A simpler one.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why that came. It's like, do you mean a public speaking term like vocal tones or something?
How to vocal tones. So how to vocal tones, how to vocal range, how to tone vocal, how to improve vocal tones, how to improve vocal tone for speaking, et cetera, et cetera. These are headlines for someone's next new video. And or questions that people are asking on Google all the time. So while we're on it, how to find vocal tone stuck out to me. How do I find my personal vocal tone, Brendan?
That's so good, Ben. You know, it's funny. I actually just learned something really important right now, which is I do that on YouTube, but I actually never do that on Google. That's really good, Ben. I'm actually going to take that as my key takeaway today. So to your question, though, how do you find your personal vocal tone? What I would say to that is there's two ways to answer this question. One is purely how do you get better at vocal tone, which is very advanced, but I'll give you the 2-minute version of it, which is there's three types of tones: high, regular, and low. So high just means you bring your voice 20% higher than how you normally speak. So you're not yelling into the sky. It's just 20% louder than how you normally communicate. That's high vocal tones for you. And then what you do is that's usually used for optimism and celebration. So when it's somebody's birthday, you increase your vocal tones. You don't say, "Hey, Ben, happy birthday. Hope you had a great day." Right? This doesn't really make sense. So the opposite is also true. So low vocal tones is usually used to create somberness and sadness. You never go like, "I'm so glad," like, "I'm so sorry you got into an accident." Like, it just doesn't make sense. It sounds like I killed a few people or something. I don't know. But right, it's like crazy.
Crazy.
So, and then you have your regular tone. But to make a long story short, what I tell people is what the best speakers on the planet do is they use all three at the same time. So they go high, low, and regular. So for people who are really listening to how I'm speaking, I never stay on the same tone ever when I'm speaking. So notice I just went up and down and up and down. That's the roller coaster of emotion. The other part of answering your question is style. How do you find the tone that works for you? And the answer is super simple. You can't find style without output. When I started making videos, I was just a kid in a basement. I didn't really think much about style. I just took a phone. And if people don't believe me, go watch the first video. And I'm just making videos and I have no idea what I'm doing. And then over time, I start to mimic other people that I really admire, like Gary Vaynerchuk. You can feel my Gary Vaynerchuk directedness when I communicate ideas. I took that from him. Seth Godin's ability to communicate complex ideas really simply. I like going really deep, so I take that from Seth. And Lewis Howes's ability to stay humble and stay very relatable in the way that he's speaking.
Got it. So take these mentors, take these people that are influential speakers, these motivators, and take little aspects. I always like to, the thing I say all the time is there's no key to success. There's no key to happiness. There's no key to being a perfect public speaker. It is a combination lock. So in this scenario, the combination is going to be unique to every individual, and it's going to be based on the people that are motivating us in our life. I know two episodes people can listen to. Brian Bogert, he talks fast, he moves fast, he talks loud. He is literally just a firecracker of a personality, and he's brilliant. And it's happening to me just thinking about him. And then Rene Rodriguez, he's got a deep voice. He talks with very much certainty and confidence. And they're two separate styles. But if Ben, in this scenario, I'm talking about myself, can weave in both of those styles, I can go in and out based on set and setting and this and that. So let's go back. So the first tip was different styles of vocal tones. What is a exercise I could do to maybe get in like a better state? Like maybe I talk really monotone. It's not overly positive, but it's not overly negative. Or maybe I talk like a little too like I'm all over the place, but I'm consistently all over the place. What can I do to get better at that?
Absolutely, Ben. So let me draw a cat because now we're entering hard mode. So the reason I'm mentioning all this is to keep the audience kind of, since we're in workshop mode, to understand the sequence. So let's go back to easing, then I'll jump right into your question.
And I apologize to anyone listening. I am all over the place, but I'm having fun. So Brendan,
no, it's okay. Honestly, Ben, I think the fact that you're all over the place is a good sign because it actually shows the audience that there's a lot more to communication than people think. Because a lot of people think communication is just, oh, well, I know how to talk. And what you're demonstrating to the fact that we're going a little bit around the globe is that communication is such a complex topic that even an expert like me has trouble structuring it. And there's a lot of answers that I'm still figuring out, and you'll get to that when we get to vocal tone. So I think that's a great thing, actually, because that itself is a lesson. So let's start with the first piece. Easy mode, keep it simple, random word exercise, question drills, and video messages. If you're not sending 100 video messages total in your life, if you haven't sent 100, so 3 a day for like a month, if you're not doing 5 random word exercises until a day until you hit 100, if you're not doing 100 questions for question drills, you should not be implementing the vocal tone feedback.
Let's pause right. Video messages.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be bad on purpose. I just dropped my phone. You can't get any worse than that. So I pick up my phone. Brendan, how do I click? How do I redo it? Oh, it's sent. How do I avoid not doing that? Is there a certain way to send a video message?
I'm glad you asked me that question. So the quick answer, because remember, we're focused on implementation. There's one rule when sending video messages. And we're not talking social media here. We're not even there yet. We're just talking to people in our, it could be clients we're serving, podcast guests where you're like sending them video messages. It could be friends and family, like those people, just one to one. The only rule, Ben, is you're not allowed to retake the video. That's the number one.
So what I just did, it needs to be sent?
Needs to be sent. Absolutely. It needs to be sent. You have no idea how deathly afraid. Obviously, people don't believe me, Ben, at this point in my career. I was deathly afraid to post my first YouTube video. I literally had to have a conversation with 3 to 4 different people, showed them the video, and they actually gave me a pat. Oh, this is really good. It wasn't that good. And I said, oh, really? Is it? Yeah, just post it. You'll be fine. They're just going like, oh my God, this sucks. But, you know, we gotta encourage Brendan. He's always helping us. So I was deathly afraid. But guess what happened after I sent my 50th video or my 25th video? I didn't care anymore. I just got really good. So yes, the point that I want to try video messages is you just need to send them. That's why I recommend you start with people you know.
Mm-hmm.
People that don't mind. And the other piece that I'll say, if you're a business owner listening to this and you're hesitating sending this to the clients, even if it's messy and things like that, here's what I'll tell you. You don't need to be famous to the world. You just need to be famous to them. And if you do good work, you're already famous to them. So if you wait until the birthday, let's say it's John's birthday and he's working with me and Ben, and we put a little birthday hat on, put a bazooka, that buzz thing that we go, bzz, little buzz thing. And we're just literally sending a video like that. It doesn't matter if it's terrible. John's going to laugh his ass off. He's going to be, this is awesome. Even if you're going, it actually makes it funnier. and that's the key. So that's easy mode.
Why video? Can I do audio? Do you think video is better? What's your opinion?
I think video is scarier. That's why you should do video. So audio works. I send a lot of voice notes. One strategy I use on LinkedIn, just so how people have this as a tactic they can put in their pockets, is when people comment on my posts, and I know you've received this, so you can attest, I've sent at least once. I don't do as consistently as I want to, but I've sent at least one voice note to that person saying, hey, thanks for engaging with my post. Hope you're on a wonderful week. I think I'm the only person who does that on LinkedIn. Like, consistently, with people who comment on my LinkedIn. I don't do it with people who like my post. That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
comments.
Like another level. Yeah, people are commenting. So going back to this, audio messages work, Ben. You can totally start with that if you're not comfortable with video. But if you're not willing to send videos, you shouldn't be implementing the vocal tone stuff that me and Ben are about to dive into.
You know what's funny? One thing I love about you is that intensity. I forget exactly what you just said, but you're like, I like to do video because it's scarier. It's like, if something's scary, if something seems out of the box, okay, what's going to happen? We either going to try it and we fail, or we try it and we do well. I guess the third thing would be we don't try it at all and nothing happens. But what's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is you're right where you started, right? The worst that you could happen is you're quite literally in the exact same spot. So you like a girl. What's the worst that could happen? You didn't have her in the first place. You want to connect with someone? You have to say hello to connect with someone. So what's the worst that could happen? So if it's scary, which honestly, I'm like thinking about it, like this sounds actually really scary. Be intense. Do it, right? But I love your intensity. That's what I love about you. You're like, the scariest thing possible is exactly what I want to do. So, and this is still easy mode.
Right. And don't get me wrong, Ben, because I'm glad you jumped in with the caveat. There's a lot of things I'm scared of, everyone who's listening. Like, I'm scared to drive, even if I have a driver's license. Like, I'm always worried that I'll get into an accident. So my sister just drives me to the airport in Iran. Right. I'm scared of skydiving. which I have to overcome at some point. I'm scared of heights. I was at a hotel the other week. We were like on the 20th floor or something. I look down and I'm like, almost feel like I'm going to get a heart attack. So I'm not invincible to fear. I think what I would say, it's just with communication, I guess I'm more fearless. But what I would say for this specific skill is, you know what's great about communication, Ben? The worst thing that can happen is actually that you get better. Because it is impossible, and I'll repeat this again, it is impossible to be the person you used to be if you sent 25 video messages. It's literally impossible not to progress. Versus like asking girls out, sure, okay, if you can ask 20 girls out and none of them say yes, you could go back to the same place you're. But communication is literally impossible to do that. There is not one person I've worked with in my career that has sent 25 video messages and come back to me and say, hey, I think I've gotten worse or I'm still the same. I've never seen that happen one time. And I don't think ever will.
One thing Neil Carroll said to me, VidWheel Creator Network, and he took it from, I think, Alex Sheridan, is it doesn't get easier. You get better. So the task isn't any different. It's not any easier than it used to be, but you get better with the reps. And I think that's kind of what we're talking about. You do it 20 times, maybe didn't get any easier, but your skill set's going to be higher. So what is the next mode? Because our listeners are going to be all over the place. And someone like me, I'm just going to try. I'm like you. I'm going to literally try all of it. So what is the next mode that we can move into? Maybe medium hard?
Absolutely. I'll jump into caveat because I slightly disagree.
Oh, with, please.
With Sheridan things.
Please.
I actually do think it gets easier. And okay. The reason, and we do get better. So he's definitely right on that. But the reason it gets easier, Ben, it depends how you do this. So I think what Sheridan means is really in the context of social media. So for example, as we get better, we get a lot more hate comments. That's the way I interpreted that. So it makes sense because we're getting hate and it might like damage us and the attacks won't get easier. But that's not true with private video messages. Example. Okay. For those of you who are listening to this podcast, think about a time where you've received a video message from somebody wishing you happy birthday or something. And it happens very rarely. So some of us listening to this might have received one. And what happens every time is it always changes our mindset around videos. I'll give you an example. Let's say I sent you a video message, which I think I've done. I don't remember. I know I've sent something to you.
I've gotten one too, I think.
Something like that. Yeah. So what happens is when you receive it, usually people respond with, wow, I've never gotten a video message. This really made my day. I really appreciate it. So when I get that feedback, even if I think I'm terrible on video, I look at that and I go, huh, like I can actually make somebody's day better with only 20 seconds.
Mm.
And it reframes our perspective about communication. It changes it from it's a chore, it's like doing the dishes, to wow, it can actually impact people. Ben wasn't kidding. I could actually help a lot of people. Brendan's right. And that encourages us to actually do more of it.
I love it. I love it. So medium mode.
Okay,
I'm leveling up. It took me how long? 35 minutes and I'm already leveled up, brother. I know it's not that simple, but we're going to go to medium mode.
Okay, so let's go to medium. I don't share this a lot on podcasts because I just know people don't implement this, but hopefully people do. So this is a strategy I teach people called the five levels of speech. Okay, the five levels of speech. So let's go through all five levels. So level one is smiling. Level two is pausing. I'll repeat it again. Level two is pausing. Level three is vocal tone variety. Level four is pacing. And level five is put it all together. So let me repeat that again. Level one, smiling. Ding. Level two, pausing.
The okay. Dig got me.
Right, the dig, right? So pausing. Three is vocal tones, level three. These are like the five next balls, essentially, after the first three. Then after that's pacing, and the fifth one is putting it all together. So what does that look like in the context of speech? If you want to get to the medium piece, one thing that is mandatory is you need at least a 60-second presentation that's written somewhere in a Word document. Okay, so let's say I was coaching Ben. Let's make this workshop mode. So it's easy. Let's say you're my client, okay? And I say, Ben, you're going to make a 60-second presentation on how to persevere in your life. Okay, makes sense so far. So you're going to type it out. It's like a 50, 75-word essay. And you're going to send this to me. So then me and you are going to get on a call, and I teach you the five levels of speech. So what does that look like? So I really want people to pay attention because it's hard to teach through a podcast. So I really want you to visualize this. So picture me and Ben on a Zoom call. His Word document is open, and all the 50 to 75 words are on that he wrote for that caller there. So how does the five balls now get applied to that speech? The trick, Ben, and how we get people results really quickly is we write the technique in the speech. So let's say we take that speech. I'll do one level at a time. So I'll write smile throughout the whole speech, and you have to read the document and smile every time it says smile. But there's a caveat to the game. The caveat is if you miss one smile, you got to start all over.
Okay.
That's the game. So people get good really quickly. So then they do level one, they fail. They do level one, they fail. They do level one, they fail. And then eventually they get smiling correctly. They hit every single one. Right. Then they go to level two.
Two.
Right? So two means pausing. You already guess. I'm adding the word pause in the presentation. And I always tell them, when you're doing level two, you got to do level one too, buddy. So if you're not smiling and pausing, you fail. You go back again at the beginning. So then I change the length of the pause. I'm really going to the granular detail. So I might do a 1 second pause. If I don't like your face, I'll do a 7 second pause. If you're complaining, a 15 second pause. So you really have to pause across all lengths, and the speech doesn't make any sense. And then level two. Then you get to three. But let me stop. Any questions so far, Ben, that you think needs to be clarified? Do you want me to just keep going?
I think it's incredible. One tiny little story I'll tell is I had a bar mitzvah when I was 13, raised Jewish. I had my bar mitzvah, and I'm reading out of a Torah. It's a completely different language, and there's no vowels. So I'm practicing my portion. She actually had me use different colored highlighters, and each color highlighter represented a certain style of singing that specific word. So I had like six different colors, and I'd go through and have to sing the word based on the color highlighter. So they're each color representing a different tone, et cetera, et cetera. And quite literally took me probably 100 tries to get through a page for my portion, but she had me do it 101 times to master it. So when I was there in person with a Torah, no vowels, 100 people, introvert, barely spoke, singing, crackling, at least I understood where to go because of that color scheme. So could I color scheme this exercise as well?
You're way ahead of the game, Ben. Most people never get to that conclusion this quickly. So you're right. Let's talk about that in just a few moments. But you're
I couldn't control myself. I just wanted to.
No, that's excellent. Most people don't come to that conclusion. Okay, so I'm glad that you got there. I'd even go through all five, and you already
smile and pause. Let me ask you one question about pause while we're here.
Please.
What's the power of it?
Sure. So it's very important, right? I think pausing is the most important technique in communication besides listening, obviously. And pausing really allows us to emphasize the key parts of our message that really matter, like I just demonstrated there. So you want to pause at moments of your speech where you feel your audience should pay specific attention to. That's really the key. And that's why it's important. You don't want to just ramble throughout, or else people won't know what information to prioritize in your speech. So that's two. Three, vocal tones. So I'll speed this up a little bit. So vocal tones, what you do in the speech, same text, is you write the word high for high vocal tones, low for low, and then you do the other two levels. Regular, you don't have to put in the text because you just speak how you regularly speak. So when you see a high, you have to go high. And then when you see a low, you go low. That's three. Then four is pacing. So what people need to get is that the best speakers on the planet speak quickly and slowly at the same time. I'll give you a quick example here. So let's say we do John Loves Apples. Instead of doing John Loves Apples or John Loves Apples, they're both wrong. So you want to do something like this. John loves apples. So notice how I went quickly and slowly. Anything you want to jump in with? You good? So that this is like really media, like we're talking.
I'm just imagining like Gary Vee and Lewis Howe's personalities coming together to like high octane fast, but then slow down and confident when needed.
Correct. Exactly. So then what happens in that speech, that same word document, you are on that same call, we have that word. And then I add fast for quickly and slow for slowly. And then five is just put it all together. So before we get to the color coding, why do I put words throughout? I do that to purposefully overwhelm the client. And I say that on the call.
I love that statement.
And the reason is because the number one takeaway is I want them to feel after this call that there's more technique than there are words in the speech. I want them to feel that emotion of overwhelm. So they go, okay, delivery is way more important than content. I need to get the vocal tones right, and it puts them in the right ambiance, the right environment. But now we've reached your question, which is excellent. which is Brendan. What about color coding? So now what I always say is remember that speaking is an art, not a science, Ben. So what I would say is do what works for you. So what does that mean? I'll give you a few examples because you're really getting to – by the way, I haven't shared this in prior episodes because I feel it's just too granular for people, but I know you wanted to go there. So for example, the vocal tones, you could do blue for high vocal tones, red for low vocal tones if you want. Instead of doing fast, you could put a race car. For slow, you could put a turtle in the speech so you know when to slow down. I also like hourglasses for pausing. I've seen clients do that in the past, where for 2-second pauses, they'll put 2 hourglasses there so they know how long they want to pause. But the key is to follow your own intuition as long as you're implementing all 5. But the most important thing, to your point, is one thing at a time. So the reason I teach all 5 at the same time on that call so people have context is because it helps me diagnose them like a doctor. So I know just by looking at, let's say I'm coaching you, and I'm just giving that context because I know it's helpful for the audience. I'll know, okay, Ben is struggling with smiling, but he's good with the pacing. So I know where I need to focus on with you for the next 4 weeks to get you to the next level. And that's the 5 levels of speech.
So I got to do that. Anytime I think of smiling, there's Aziz Ansari. There's like a meme with him, like his eyes are wide open and he's just like, ah. Don't do that though, right? Naturally. So this is a random question, but I'm not a huge smiler. I'm not the most bubbly person. I'm kind of a quiet, introverted guy. What if someone's like, well, I don't feel comfortable smiling? What would you tell someone who says, I don't really feel comfortable smiling? I don't even feel confident.
Right. So here's what I would say. Couple of thoughts. Smiling doesn't mean with your big teeth and showing everything. Right. Once again, I can't show this on a podcast, but on audio, but I can show this on video.
People can hear it though. Go on. Right. Sorry.
But I'll show you, right? So there's a big difference between this and this. So even if there's a slight smile, you saw that difference there? Is even if you're smiling just a tiny bit without showing your teeth, it makes all the difference. So let's change what smiling actually means because we need to make an excuse to do it, right? So you need to smile a little bit, just do what you're comfortable with. But the reason you need to smile is because the presentation isn't about you and what you think. The presentation is about the results and the outcomes you're delivering for the client or for the person that's in the room. Right?
You're on fire, you Brendan.
I earned one of them. Yes, I got one of them.
Oh my gosh.
So what I tell my aggressive feedback on this is we got to move the ego aside. It's what about what gets us results? It's like if a business owner came up to us and said like, I'm making $100,000. I want to make $500,000. It's like, okay, are you doing more outreach? Oh, but I don't want to do outreach. Like I'm tired, but I want to make $500,000. It's like, well, if you're not going to do outreach, just stay at 100K. It's the same thing with communication, which is like, there's a way for us to compromise on the smile. We don't need to put our grin out, but we definitely need to smile a tiny bit, and it makes all the difference. I wish I could show everyone listening to the audio, but if you just backtrack to the video and you'll see it.
Yeah, backtrack to the video. And quite literally, I'm going to pay my show notes writer double for this episode because everything's going to be in the show notes. Just a brief on these exercises, all the major quotes, it's all time stamped. You can jump around, come back to this as a resource at any time. I've never been happier to skip the rapid fire round because I wanted this to be workshop and not be a traditional episode, but I do want to leave time, but I know we got to run off the door in a moment. How can I support you? How can I be your biggest cheerleader? How can I learn more? How can I watch your channel? How can I work with you? What's my next step, Brendan?
I mean, first of all, Ben, this is a great opportunity to say I'm super grateful for you. I mean, you've supported me so much. You've promoted so many things for me. So thanks for this opportunity to show. This is great, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
Right. So for people listening to this who wants to support me, which I super appreciate, 2 ways to keep in touch. The first one is the YouTube channel. Just go to Master Talk in 1 word and you'll have access to hundreds of free videos on how to speak. And the second way to keep in touch is we do a free workshop on communication that's live and interactive. It's not a recorded webinar that I personally facilitate every 2 weeks, and I'll be doing that for a very long time. So if you want to jump on that call, just go to rockstarcommunicator.com.
Awesome. So I can add that to the show notes, and whether they're listening, you know, a week from today or a month down the road, rockstarcommunicator.com to get in touch with you. Awesome, man. Dude, you're a breath of knowledge. I appreciate you taking the time with me today, and I hope we can do it again soon. Get to know your story. Dude, guys, Ren has been on a lot of podcasts. Learn more about his backstory. It's brilliant. I'm happy that we were able to do an advanced workshop today. And bro, I got like, I didn't take notes. I let that for the show note writer, but I have like literally like 15 action steps after this episode. So what are your thoughts? You can just take one action step, probably the one word exercise. If we even can take one action step out of this, what's going to happen to our communication long term?
Yeah, I would say the most important action is this question, Ben, that motivates us to do all of the above. How would your life change if you're an exceptional communicator? Really reflect on that question, because the reason people don't put in the work is because they don't have a deep reason why they want to master communication. And once you stop seeing it like a chore and a way to create impact in the same way you've done it, because now with your podcast, because you're a great communicator, sure, there's other levels you can get better, but you're already great. That's why your podcast is super successful and you're able to share that impact with people. What is that thing for you who's listening to this? It doesn't have to be a podcast. It could be a better mother for your children. It could be making new friends. It could be ordering food in a restaurant where the waiter feels amazing and that's your goal. But once you find it, it's going to be a lot easier for you to do the random word exercise, the question drills, and the video messages, and maybe even the five levels of speech.
I'm going to need a tissue, please. I need a tissue after that one. Brendan, you're amazing, man. I appreciate the time, and I'm going to support you. I'm going to leave you a recommendation because I want to see you get to 500,000, brother.
Thanks, bro. I really appreciate you, bro.
Talk soon, man. Thanks again for listening to Learn, Speak, Teach, powered by Balbert Marketing, LLC. You need to go subscribe if you haven't yet. This show is completely free. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Leave us a review on Apple, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to the show. All right. Thanks once more for listening to LST. I am so grateful. Talk to you soon.